Well, another warm welcome from me as well on Father's Day, and a special welcome to the fathers. As I was preparing early this morning, I was just praying and spending time with God. I was hearing the rain coming down, and I was thinking to myself, how many fathers are going to get up this morning to come here? I mean, the temptation to just lie in and wait for the bacon and eggs is just too great. Is there any fathers here that have had bacon and eggs this morning? One, two, come on, wave. Let's not embarrass everybody. But maybe lunch is coming. Lunch is coming, and maybe there's going to be some steak or something manly. You know, a man with a steak can fat. So I trust that you'll be blessed this morning, even though it's long weekend, it's cold. The message that I have for you this morning is not so much a teaching, nor is it necessarily a fiery sermon, as it is something that I'm going to share with you from my heart, and I'm trusting that through the testimonies I'll be sharing and some of the video clips that I'll be showing you, that you will receive an impartation, not so much from me, but from the Father, God Almighty. And as you see and as you hear, that you will see and hear an expression of God Almighty. Because all the good fathers that are on this planet receive their ability to be a father from the Father of all. Not one father can stand up on a platform and say, well, I have so many children, I know all there is to know about fatherhood. I am the greatest example. Please all follow me. No one on the planet can do that. We are all fallible. We all make mistakes. We all hurt even our families from time to time. We have shortcomings. But there is one Father who is perfect in all things and who will assist us in all things as we grow in our fathering and mothering. And so my topic this morning is fathers. But as I speak of fathers, the same principles apply to mothers as well, as we're going to get along through the morning. And last night, we were at Pastor Fred's house and praying for the ministry training program, people that are attending, sending them out and commissioning them. And at the end, we were watching a little bit of a DVD of the Bible that some American people have made, taking it from Genesis straight through to Revelation. We didn't watch it all the way, by the way. We just started off. But there was a scene of Abraham and Abraham waiting for the promise of Isaac. And he sits sort of on a tree stump in front of his tent, and Sarah's in the tent. And then he looks at the stars, and she comes out and he says, look, Sarah, look, count them. See, that is the promise of God. That is my promise. That is what God has promised me. And I could just see in his eyes and in his voice the yearning for being a father and the promise of God that he will be a father of millions, even billions of people still to come. And in a sense, that hungering, that yearning that he has to be a father, to reproduce, to have a son of his own, that yearning is inside of each one of us. And whether you are single or married, young or old, I want to say to you that you can produce many children. Some will be biological, but the reality is you can produce a whole lot more spiritual children than what you can produce biological children. Does anybody know what the Guinness Book of Records is for the woman with the most biological children that she pushed out herself? 64. In 20 years. That was mostly triplets and quadruplets. And that's about it, 64. That's the world record. But you can have a whole lot more spiritual children than 64. And so as I'm speaking today, I'm speaking to you as people that have been given the gift of fathering and mothering. You have received freely, you've received freely given. We need to today take up our roles as fathers and mothers in the kingdom of God. We need to say to ourselves, Lord, even if you don't, if you at this present moment don't have that yearning, or maybe you feel, well, I've had my children, I'm a grandfather now, and you're satisfied with the grandkids, I want to tell you that my desire to produce children will never stop. And I will never grow tired of having children, spiritual children, our physical children. There's a line in the sand that's been drawn. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you where the line comes from. I was praying one day here in Stellenbosch as a young student for my future family, and I didn't have my wife at the time yet. And so the Lord started to speak to me, and He gave me not the name of my wife, praise God. I had to discover her myself. But the Lord gave me five names of five children, three boys and two girls. And that's exactly what we have. Isn't that amazing? In other words, it's statistically, just go work it out. What are the odds of having three boys and two girls? And that's how we knew that this was sort of our quiver is full and God's blessing is here. And that's why we stopped. In fact, we could actually just carry on a bit. Because the joy of the Lord just comes upon us as children come to us and are added unto us. And we would love to even have had more. But my question to you this morning is, what makes you a father? And then what makes you a mother? The answer is very simple. A father is someone who has reproduced. You have taken of yourself, your DNA, and together with the mother, you have reproduced this offspring. And if you don't have offspring, you're not a father. Spiritually speaking, the same thing. If you have not reproduced spiritually and you don't have spiritual sons and daughters, then you are not a father. And being a father has got nothing to do with age. It's got everything to do with reproducing. Now, some would say, yeah, but you can't count that as being a father, because in reality, a 13-year-old boy can impregnate a young girl and she can become pregnant, get a baby, and he can be a father at 13. Maybe he's not going to be a good father. Maybe he is going to be a good father. Who knows? It's not about how good you are. We're going to be speaking about becoming a good father or character traits of a good father. But you can produce and become a father at a very young age. It's therefore your responsibility to learn how to become a good father. And we can study Scripture. We can look at God the Father Himself, who will teach us in all things and lead us by His Holy Spirit in terms of how to be a father and how to be a mother. But church, my challenge to you this morning is to say, come and let us reproduce. Let's come back to Genesis, where God spoke to Adam and Eve and He said, go forth and multiply. And my challenge to you is, let us go forth from this place and say, let us not be satisfied with the children that we have in our midst. Let us not be satisfied with what we have produced or reproduced up until now. But let us go forth from this place prayerfully and saying, Lord, I ask that you add to me spiritual children, sons and daughters. Amen. I've got some photographs that I put up there, and some of it is my biological children, and some are spiritual children. First one there, that's little Caleb. He's the youngest. 2 days ago, he started telling me about my Father's Day gift. Luckily, Christelle just stopped him and said he mustn't give it away. That's Michael. He's my second born. That's Mikhaila, our eldest. There's the three boys. Joshua on the right, there's everybody together, all seven of us with Leisha and Mikhaila. And you can just pause there for a moment. On screen there you have two young men. On the left-hand side on the screen is Quinn, and on the right-hand side is Mojalefa. They are from Potchefstroom, and I want to just tell you a little bit about them and what God has done in their lives. I hope I'm going to get through this message. When I speak about being a father or just receiving love from God Almighty, I cannot help but to be stirred. And when we watch some of the video clips today, I think you're going to have some teary eyes yourself. So bear with me as I go through this. Quinn, on the left-hand side, I met him when he was at the age of 13. I was running the youth in Potchefstroom. I was doing lots of things, but one of my responsibilities being the youth pastor, we were about 25 young people. I started off with four, ended up with about 350 young people when we left 4 years later. But I remember one Friday night, there was this young man, 13 years old. He was still in grade 7 at the time. And at the end of the youth meeting, someone came to me and said, "Pastor, would you please pray for Quinn? His father died this morning." And he was at youth that night. And we couldn't even tell that his father had passed away. And I was so shocked that this young man who lost his father on that very same day came to the house of God to find comfort. To come and be among someone who's going to comfort him, who's going to fold their arms around him. And so I embraced him. We prayed for him. And I blessed him and started to walk a road with him. Some weeks later, he came to me and he said, "Pastor Anton, would you please be my spiritual father?" And so my response was, "Quinn, I already am. I already am. I've already taken you in as my son, a spiritual son." And in 2010, when his mother also passed away, he became an orphan. He was still at high school. Old enough to look after himself, but staying with his older brother. And so ever since then, he's been going alone, in a sense. But not alone, because Father God Almighty has been with him. And I've seen how he's grabbed hold of God Almighty as his father, how he's found comfort in Almighty God. And I want to tell you what has happened in this young man's life. From the age of 13, as he embraced God as his father, he found a peace in his heart. He took up the call to become a father in the spirit himself, and he started reproducing at the age of 13. He started leading his school friends to the Lord. He started to lead people in church to the Lord. When it was altar call time and people had to pray for people in the front, he would be standing there, and people 50 years and 60 year old would queue so that Quinn can pray for them. Because he had such a prayer of faith. He had such courage, such a zeal, such an ability to hear from God. And everywhere you go in Potchefstroom, you speak to older people, you will see 40, 50, 60, 70-year-olds testifying and saying, "We are so privileged to look at a young man like Quinn and see the example that he is setting for us in the spirit with his zeal for God, his passion for God, and his faith." And so he's led many, many people to the Lord, casting out demons, praying for the sick. I took some of these young people with me on a mission trip. They were 14, 15 year old, and I taught them how to lead people to Christ. Some of them testified in front of thousands of people. Some cast out demons, some prayed for the sick, and they got healed. Amazing things happened with people who were 13 and 14 year olds. Why? Because secondly, they grabbed hold of, first of all, they grabbed hold of God the Father. But secondly, there was also an earthly father in myself that said to them, "Guys, I believe in you. God believes in you, and God will raise you up." And I created a platform for them to move in. And I said, "God is with you, and God's anointing is upon your life." And I was teaching and sharing with them many things, and mighty miracles is taking place. Now, in Potchefstroom, we have a network church, or let's call it a partner church in Christian Fellowship. That's where Christelle and I pastored for 4 years, and but now we have planted a shofar church on the campus amongst the students. And guess who's leading? Quinn. Quinn is leading, and maybe you must go on Facebook. Go look, Shofar Potchefstroom. Go look at the photographs. I did some training with the guys. We started off with a team of 5 people. The first Sunday they started services, there were 45 people as they gathered them. And it's just growing and growing. Amazingly, what God is doing in the lives of young people. Mojalefa on the other side there has taken over the youth ministry today, and he is running with hundreds of young people, teenagers, that he's pastoring, and both of them are in their early 20s, 21, 22, in that area. young men who became fathers. Young men who were fathered but also then decided we are going to become fathers ourselves. My question as I'm telling you these stories today is, where are your children, spiritually speaking? Where are the photographs and the stories and the testimonies? And I'm not sharing this with you to condemn you, but to challenge you to say, what God can do for one person, He can do for you. If God can raise up 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds and 18-year-olds to become fathers, that means everyone in this room can be a father and a mother in the Spirit. Amen? Let's take the next photograph. That's when we moved to Standerton. That's after quad biking, so you can see some mud on my face there. To the left is George. To the right is Kurt. Two young sons of mine as well. Again, raised up in the youth. George, to the left, he's also lost his parents at a young age. To the right is Kurt, who's grown up without his father, growing up with his mother. And I want to tell you that these are two beautiful young people. When I met them, they didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They came to youth and we had praise and worship and they were staring at the floor and staring at the ceiling and they had no idea what this hand clapping was all about. Until one night I introduced them to God Almighty, to Father God. And the day that they met Father God Almighty, their lives changed to such an extent that I don't need to tell these young people to read their Bible, don't do this, don't do that. They are leading a little revival amongst young people in Standerton as I speak. Because they've been connected to Father God. And so your job and my job in this life is to connect people to Father God and to be fathers and mothers, sort of like to be midwives ourselves so that we can lead them into all truth. In Luke chapter 15, we read the story of the lost son. And I'm not going to read the whole story to you now. It's a long story, and I'm sure you all know it. But again, this is a demonstration, the whole chapter of Luke 15. Our God is, or Jesus is trying to demonstrate to us the heart of the Father. And he first tells the story of the man who had 100 sheep, and he lost one sheep. And then he left the 99, and he went looking for that one sheep. And he says, I'm not going to stop looking until I find this lost sheep. And then he carries on to the woman who had 10 silver coins. She lost one coin, and she said, I'm gonna keep on searching. I'm going to overturn every table and look beyond every little corner so that I can find this coin. And when I receive it or find it, then she rejoices, and she invites all her neighbors to say, come, rejoice with me. And so in the same way, we need to rejoice over those who were lost and are now found. But coming to the story of the lost son, there is something that I want to highlight here. The first thing is that when the son comes to the father and he says, my father, I would like to receive my inheritance now, the father does something amazing. He gives him his inheritance even though it's not time. Because an inheritance is something you only receive when the father is dead. And yet, the heavenly father gives the inheritance whilst he is still alive. Why does Jesus put such a twist on the story, such a turn in the story? It's because our heavenly father will never die. And therefore, we are not waiting for him to die so that we can get an inheritance. Our inheritance has already been given to us. God gave his inheritance to us when he created Adam and Eve. And he said, I give you everything. I give you all the blessings. We have lost that through sin, but we have regained it through Jesus Christ. And so we can grab hold of the inheritance that the Father has for us. But then the second phase is where the son takes what has been given, and then he walks away and he goes and spends it all. And then, again, the father does something amazing. He lets him go. He says, I'm not going to hold you back. I'm not going to force my love upon you. I'm not going to force my fathering upon you. I'm not going to force my father heart upon you. My goodness is there for you, but I cannot keep you. I cannot hold you. If you want to run away, then be at peace. I bless you. I send you off. And then the third part of the story is when the son has lost everything and he comes back to the father
tail between the legs and full of shame and guilt, and he's expecting rejection, and yet the father comes to him and says to him, embraces him and says, my son who was dead is now alive again. Let us slaughter the fattened calf. Let us put a ring on his finger. Let us give him, wash him and give him new clothes and a new identity. And so in the same way that every person on planet Earth is in fact a lost son and a lost daughter. Every one of us. Every one of us have an inheritance from God the Father. And when we are born, we walk away from that. And God is waiting for us to return to him. But I challenge you today, church, that as we have been returned to God the Father ourselves, let us not just sit there and be content with what we have received. Let us not be like the older brother who becomes jealous when the new or the lost son gets all the attention and the new believers get the attention. But let us become fathers and mothers ourselves as well, celebrating the heart of the Father, celebrating those who come in to the kingdom of God. Romans 5 verse 8 says this: but God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We know that God himself is love. And so all love originates from him. And if we in our life somehow feel that we are falling short of love, we need to turn to God and to look to him as our source and say, Lord, show me love. Lord, teach me love. Lord, help me to love like you love. Because all love comes from him. And the amazing thing about God's love is that his love is truly unconditional. While we were still sinners, he died for us, or Jesus was sent to come and die for us. I want to show you the first video clip. Some of you may have seen it. It's about a father and his son. The father is 64. The son is 44 years old. They are called Team Hoyt. And the son has cerebral palsy. And he had a dream to run, but he couldn't run. He couldn't do anything for himself. In fact, he couldn't speak. And the father himself wasn't really a sportsman. But as his son one day was sitting there, he says, Daddy, I would really love to run. I would love to feel what it's like to do that. And at that moment, the father decided, I'm going to do for you what you desire. I'm going to bless you. And so he became a runner, and you will see the rest of the video clip. If you've seen it, this, I cannot watch this without wiping my eyes, so I've seen this 10 times, maybe more. If we can run to that, thank you.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who taught the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies this life within me cries. I know my Redeemer.
are a few parts in this video clip that's for me extremely beautiful. And the one is where the father carries his son out of the water. By the way, that was Iron Man that they were doing there. And they've done six of them. And many, I think 50 half marathons and a whole lot of marathons they've done together. But he picks up his son out of the boat and he takes him there to the chair where he's sitting there. But did you notice how he looked at his son to check if he's okay? Are you comfortable? Are you ready here? And you can see that the father's main concern is the comfort and the joy of the son. And then he keeps on running together. And did you see the smile on his son's face as they were doing this race together? And more importantly for me, right at the end, did you notice how they celebrated together across the finish line? The father was the one who did all the running. He did the swimming. He did the cycling. But yet together, they celebrated the finish line. Together, they won the victory. And that is Father God's heart for you and me. That he says, I'm going to be with you. And the same, this is just an image of God helping us and carrying us through life. But now that we have been helped, now that God is continuing to walk with us, how are we going to help those around us? How are we going to be fathers and mothers to those around us? How will we care for those around us and for our own biological children, obviously, the same? I want us to run through just 10 characteristics of good fathers, someone who's a good father, and hopefully I can run through them not too long and show you another video clip, which is also quite inspiring. The first characteristic and the most obvious one of all, but also the most difficult to explain in words, is that of love. And I'm going to share with you just a few things that I've received from my earthly father and some of the things I'm hoping to give through to my own children and spiritual and biological. If I have to describe my father to you, he passed away in 2009 from Parkinson's disease. And if I look at his love, when he died, I had to do a speech on his funeral. And I realized that the most outstanding characteristic of my father is his love. But my father wasn't someone who was overbearing in love. You know, he wasn't really fluffy-duffy, hugging every time. In fact, you know, he was a real boer, you know, Andrek. Fat five. And so when I came into Shofar and, you know, we come into this, everybody hugs each other. Man, my dad was uncomfortable. And he would, you know, at first he sort of tried to make a joke out of it, and then he would hug us and he would sort of tap us extra, you know, sort of to show that he wants to, but he's not really going to go into this huggy, liffy-diffy kind of thing, you know, you're amongst the charismatics. But there was something about my father that even though he didn't try to just over-dominantly trying to show love and express love, love was all over him in everything he said, everything he did, in his voice, in his eyes. It was always there. It's like it never went away. I can never remember a time in my life that I did not sense the love of my father, my biological father. And I was looking for the photograph. But on the funeral, we showed a photograph of his hand, just his hand, on the sick bed just before he died. And for us four children, that is one of the most precious photographs. My dad could simply just come and put his hand on his shoulder. Just a simple touch. Krap jou hare die mekaar. Or he had a very heavy hand, you know, and so my sisters sometimes complain that when he puts his arm around them, that they're sort of leaning down because he's got such a heavy hand. But it's that hand that's changed my life. That's made me who I am. And I'm so thankful for that love that I have received. And if I look at my father and his hand, and I see that God's hand is stretched out towards me, and that his hand is upon me, and that his hand is upon you and me, what a comfort it is to know that God Almighty says, you are in my hand, and nothing and no one can rip you from my hand. There's an incredible love that God the Father gives us. And if we want to grow in love, we need to run to him and just sit with him and allow him to touch us. The second thing I want to come to is care and affection, which sort of comes together with love, the touching and the hugs and affection. And parents, I want to say to you that it's so important that you show affection. Fathers, I want to say specifically to you as men that it's important that you show affection, especially to your sons. Don't think that you need to be too manly or too brave or too tough or too harabart, you know, to cry even. I've seen my father cry quite a number of times in my life, and that is for me precious moments. And even as I stand here with tears in my own eyes, I want to tell you that tears are valuable. Tears is a precious commodity. You need to be able to cry with your children. You need to be able to wipe off their tears and to, in a sense, celebrate tears together as part of love. The third thing I want to share with you is fun and games. There's a photograph there. I think there should be one more of the motorbike. There we go. That's quite an old photograph. You can see from the motorbike and the hairstyle, it's and the shorts, it's quite old. My dad used to have so much fun with us, and we would climb on his back and wrestle with him, and he would pull pranks on us, and we would try to do the same, but we weren't quite successful. And even today, I've inherited these pranks. All the youth groups that I've ever been involved with, they know you must be careful when Pastor Anton is around. Sleep lightly. We need to be able to have fun together, to laugh and cry. Who of you have seen the movie The Last Samurai? Has anybody seen the movie The Last Samurai? You didn't see it? In the movie, there's this massive, great samurai leader, and he's vicious and ferocious. Man, there's like steam coming out of his nose. He is really the mean deal. But there's one scene in this whole movie where the village of the samurai are having a concert. And while they're having the concert, there's some assassins creeping from the bushes and onto the roofs, positioning themselves to kill this tribe, and specifically the leader, the samurai leader. But what blessed me was that he was on stage and he was being the funny guy, the clown. And this mighty guy was laughing with the kids, and the kids was rolling around with him, and he was accessible to his whole town, even though he was the most ferocious killer in the whole of Japan, probably in Asia. Here you have this guy rolling around and making a fool of himself and playing games with children. Being a man doesn't mean you have to be tough and put on a tough face all the time. You can play. And I want to tell you, fathers, when you play with children, you open their hearts, because that means you are stepping into their world. Grandfathers and grandmothers, the same happens. When you play hide and seek with them, we have, Christelle did an amazing thing for us as a family. She instituted what we would call family night. And family night, the kids can pick more or less what they want to eat. They prepare the food with her, and they make a special pudding. But then before we eat, then we all play games. And each one of the five kids can pick a game. And we play hide and seek. We run around. We play all sorts of games. And the joy I see in my children's eyes when we play those games is something I will not trade for anything in the world. And I've done the same thing, by the way, with the youth, the teenagers at youth ministry. I play volleyball with them. I do all the challenges with them. In fact, it's quite a great kick for them to try and beat me. I am unbeaten as up to date. So I have to work hard to keep it up. Jan kon my nou nie my game weggee nie. The next thing is to provide. Matthew 6 verse 8, for your father knows what you need before you ask him. I remember growing up, there were certain times that as a family, we started to notice that my dad's clothes, some of them had holes in, some of them were sort of worn through and faded and looked really old. And as children, we had new clothes, and you know, when we needed the Nike techies, because North Stars wasn't cool anymore, now you needed Nike. Has anybody gone through that same transition from North Star to Nike? Who remembers North Star? Okay, I'm just checking your age here. So I transitioned from North Star to Nike, and then I saw my father, and one day I asked my dad, I said, and sort of we all tried to pull together as children. We said, Daddy, why don't you go buy yourself some new clothes? And he was always just shoving us off and not answering. And then one day he came up with the answer. He says, I'm not going to buy new clothes because I want to buy new clothes for you. In other words, there wasn't enough for everyone to get new clothes. But my father would wear his old clothes till there's holes in and mend the socks or whatever so that we could have Nikes and not North Stars. That is a picture again of our Heavenly Father saying, listen, I own everything, all the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the riches is here. I want to bless you. I want to give unto you. And we need to come before our Heavenly Father and ask him. We were a week ago in Ghana with 2,000 Pentecostal and charismatic pastors from across the continent. And the Lord gave me a prophetic word for the church in Africa. And the Lord was saying to the church, he's saying, listen, ask of me the nations, ask of me for whatever it is that you desire, ask of me for the resources that you need, everything. God is saying to his church, I want to bless you, but you must come and ask. And Matthew 7 verse 21, Matthew 7 verse 7, where God is speaking, or Jesus is speaking, he's saying, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. The same scripture in Luke chapter 11. But then, another place, Jesus speaks, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask, you still don't receive because you lack faith. And in this sense, we need to have that faith that our children have in us when they ask for an ice cream or they ask for something that they really desire. My children are now starting to learn what a budget is and some things like that. But you know, the little ones, they don't know what a budget is. If they see ice cream, they say, Papa, rumais. And you can please explain all you like. You're going to hear screaming until you somehow find a way to solve the problem. God Almighty is there to provide for us. The fifth one is to protect. I remember one night, we were still living in Bloemfontein, and there was robbers who came into the house, and my sister woke up, and my dad ran out with his gun and his underpants on into the streets, down over a bridge, chasing the robbers. And I'll never forget in my mind that image of my dad all alone with his underpants and his gun running through the streets chasing a whole bunch of robbers. And he's just saying, man, this is my family and I'm going to protect my family. I can tell you many stories of my own as well where I almost knocked Christelle out one night. Can I tell you the story? I already gave away the punchline, but maybe it'll still work. No, it won't work. But what happened is, I was lying in bed at night, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and so I heard these funny noises in the house. But I was in a deep sleep. You know when you're in a deep sleep, and there's noises that's familiar in the house. You know somebody else's footsteps, and you know the steps of the cat and the dog, and so I was hearing these noises. It wasn't familiar. And while I was thinking to myself in my sleep, what could this be? Our bedroom door banged. And I sort of opened my eyes and sat up. And here came in a robber like this. And by the third step, there was a realization in my mind. I said, Vragies, he is I. And so in half a second, I, in one movement, lifted the blankets, shot myself through the air, jumped onto this robber. And I didn't know what this robber had in his hands, a gun, a knife or something. So I decided I'm going to take him by the upper arms, immobilize him, and I'm going to rush him and smash his brains against the wall. But while I was doing that, my instinct and my adrenaline kicked in. So I made a sound that was sort of a cross between a samurai and a lion. Rawr! I can't even do it. I don't know where it came from. But man, and I grabbed this robber and I was about to just smash his brains. And then Castell started screaming. And the robber was Christelle, and what she was doing is she was pulling a heavy mattress for one of the kids who was sick, and that's where the movement came from. So afterwards, Christelle and I, after she calmed down, which took about an hour, then we giggled for another 3 hours in bed, and then she would giggle, and then I would giggle, and she would giggle, and I would giggle, and so. And then after a while, I said to her, now, do you at least feel safer now that you know how I respond? She said, no. Now I'm terribly afraid. She made sure that she switched on the lights, and then she made sure that I know it's her. But it's that instinct inside of us to want to protect. And there was just that roar of the lion that came out there mixed with a samurai that says, Buti, you're no patfat. Because you're not going to touch my family. In the same way, God protects us. God is protective over you and me. But I want to give your parents just an instruction or a, yes, let's call it an instruction, to watch over your children and to protect them from what they receive. DVDs, television, movies, music. Christelle and I, we have realized that God has set us as parents, as guards for our children, and it's not wrong to lay down limits for your children. To say you will not watch this movie and you will not watch that DVD. In fact, we as a family have gone so far as to cut off television. We only have DVDs. And it's Heidi and Pinocchio and some nice, wonderful, innocent stuff that we have. Be protective. You don't have to do it like us, but be protective of your family. Fathers, do you protect your home spiritually? When we moved into Stellenbosch, into the house, the people who lived there before us had a lot of fairy stuff and all sorts of things in the garden and paintings of fairies. And so strange things happened. You know, within the first week, the sliding door fell out on one of Mikaela's friends and she cut her hand. And then the next week, Mikaela was pushing on a chair and the seat gave way and she fell and cut open her chin here, blood spitting out. In fact, it looked like it went straight through her lip. And I realized, look, there's something wrong here. This is, and our youngest boy, little Caleb, he was acting out like he was crazy, full of anger and misbehaving, but unstoppable. And I realized, listen, there's a spiritual thing in the atmosphere here. There's something not right here. So one morning when the kids went to school and Christelle went to work, I drove home 10 o'clock in the morning all by myself. I took out a bottle of oil and I started walking the perimeter of our house, starting at the outside, the yard, and then the house, and I anointed it. And then I said, I am the strong man of this house in the name of Jesus Christ. I take authority over this house, over this yard, and every spiritual thing that is not of God, I bind you now in the name of Jesus. I break your power, and I say to you, be gone from this place in Jesus' name. This shall be a house of peace, and the presence of God shall be the only presence in this place. And from that moment onwards, we have peace. No more sliding doors falling out. Little Caleb changed immediately. In that same day when he came home, he was at peace. He was relaxed. He wasn't agitated anymore. Fathers, protect your homes. Number six, teach. I'm going to go a little bit faster. Teach your children. Answer their questions. Sometimes we get
irritated with children and we don't answer their questions because they ask too many questions. But Christelle and I have decided we're going to answer our children's questions even if it takes longer. And what was amazing for us is that last year, at the end of the year, when all the teachers gave the report backs, all three of our children's teachers said, wow, your kids have got amazing general knowledge. And we don't have a TV. And they don't watch news. Because there's conversation happening around the house. There's conversation happening throughout the day. And we're talking, actually, we're not just on our phones all day long or on the video or on the TV. But we're sharing and we're talking. And through just talking and answering questions, our kids' general knowledge far exceeds that of their classmates. I was 2 weeks ago ministering in Nomzamo, just after, or was maybe a month ago. We returned from Malawi. I was away for a week and came back. And then I had to go and do leadership training in Nomzamo, which was a whole day, Saturday from morning till afternoon. And Mikana, our eldest, said, I want to come with. I said, my dear, it's going to be long. You know, it's 8 hours, 9 hours. There's going to be no friends there. And it's going to be in English. And, you know, I'm going to be speaking to leaders. Do you really want to come with? You know, I don't think you should come with. She said, no. I want to come with, Daddy. I want to be with you. And so I took her with. You know what was the amazing thing is? She sat there, and when it was time for questions, she asked questions. When I asked questions, she answered. And she was a normal participant as any other leader. A few years ago, I was so blessed by the same Mikaela. I was the pastor at Sanditon, and it was time for the prophetic, and it was a big event that we had, and so... Here comes Mikaela, and she says, Papa, ek het 'n woord. You know, now anything can come out of a kid's mouth. And I was really worried, you know, should I now give her this microphone? This is really unprepared for me. And then there's a whole lot of people and a lot of guests, you know, you can't miss it here. And I said, what do you want to say? And she whispered into my ear. I said, fantastic. And I gave her the microphone, and she gave a prophetic word for the church, and it was the word of the day. And many of the adults came afterwards and said, that word was for me. It changed my life. Thank you for allowing your 9-year-old daughter to bring the word of the Lord. Teach them. Don't underestimate them. Then next, impart. Take your children with you on the journey of life. Our children grew up in the church learning things, like I said now with Mikaela, with youth leaders, meetings that I had in Standard and Potchefstroom. Every Thursday for an hour, I would sit with the leaders and I would say to them, guys, how was last week? What did you learn from that? Let's talk about planning for next week. And I explained to them everything that I did. Why did I do this? How did I do it? How to evaluate the previous week? How to plan for the next week? And so I've imparted to them and I've had adult discussions with 14-year-olds and I would share with them everything of my planning and why I do what I do, the way that I do it. And for that reason, some of them can now run 400 youth without me. Because every week, they planned with me. Every week, we prayed together. Every week, we spoke about the failures. We spoke about the successes. Why was this successful? And why was that a failure? And what are we going to do about this? And so I learned, I taught them that. But it's through impartation. It's through teaching. It's through sharing your life. In other words, do not think that children or young people or even young believers are too young to learn. Do not underestimate the new believer, your spiritual children. Let us not just keep on feeding them milk. Let me rush a little bit quicker. I want to get to a key scripture, Exodus 33, verse 11. I've got only 3 points that I'm going to rush through quickly. But let's just pause on this one. You need to catch this one. Thus says the Lord. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. In other words, this is Moses going to the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. And so he meets with God. God's presence stands at the door of the tabernacle. And God speaks to him face to face. And then God gives him instruction. He goes back to the people and he gives them the instruction. But the scripture says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, remained at the tent. Which means Joshua was present when Moses had his meetings with God. And so here you have little, well, not little, he was a big man. But Joshua is standing there and he's looking at God and he's looking at Moses. And he's looking at God and he's looking at Moses. And he's seeing how to enter the presence of God, how to talk to God, how to ask of God, how to connect with God, how to relate to God. And he's learning all of these things because Moses took him with when he had his quiet time, when he had his most intimate moments with Father God, there was somebody else there. Joshua was there. And so when we jump to Joshua chapter 1, and God speaks to Joshua and he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua knew exactly what God was speaking about. Take people with you into the holy places. Take your children with you. Take your spiritual children with you. Share with them the secrets of the Most High God. Do not think that you need to keep it to yourself to be more spiritual or to be higher. For how will we raise up the next Joshuas if we don't show them the secrets? Number 8. Create opportunities. Create room for your children. My father, when I was in standard 8, grade 10, I was still delivering newspapers for 8 years. My father said, man, this is so nonsense. Let me help you start a business. And he helped me start a fruit and vegetable business. And every second Saturday, he took the combi plus a trailer. And we drove through to the Johannesburg market. And we filled that thing to the roof. And I packed it Saturdays, quickly packed things into hampers, had my clients delivered fruit and vegetable hampers, and I made, in those days, was 150 rand a Saturday. I made 80 rand a month for my newspapers. So instead of delivering newspapers every single day, I worked one Saturday morning, and I got 150 rands. But my dad took me to the market. He showed me the way. He created opportunities for me to grow. I'm creating opportunities for my spiritual sons and daughters, and so we need to create the opportunities for our biological children to grow. I don't have time to go into that. Then number 9, support. I did target shooting amongst other sports. I did almost all of them, all the sports at school, but target shooting was one of them, and I got my Transvaal clothes, and I went to the SAs, and during break time, suddenly someone popped in to the restricted area, and it was my father who took leave, and in the whole of South Africa, he was the only father at the national championships to wish me luck. I'll never forget that. It distracted me, so I didn't do well after that. But let's watch this last video clip. Can we just watch this last one? Are you up for it? This is the Olympic Games, Barcelona. Thank you.
as you can gather, it's his Father. And what you don't see is 65,000 people giving a standing ovation. Again, beautiful how the Father chases away the officials. And he's quite adamant. You know, I can think of an Afrikaans word that he was saying there. Starting with a V. Who's running your race with you? Because Father God is there to help you run the race with you. And second question is, who are you helping when they tear a hamstring, when they struggle? Supporting. I'm going to close with the 10th one, and that is discipline. It's the one that we don't like, but Revelation 3:19 says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. When Christelle and I left Standerton, the church that we planted there, we handed over the church, and the last youth meeting that I attended, the youth planned a surprise Thanksgiving for me and speeches that they made. And what surprised me was the fact that 3 out of every 5 of them thanked me for the times I disciplined them. In fact, the one guy, he worked for me while we were building the house, renovating the house, and he was very lazy, very, very lazy. And so one day I rebuked him very hard. I'm not going to go into the detail, but really hard. Nice, didn't swear, nothing. Beautiful words, didn't break down his character. But I said to him, listen, you're a man of God, and this does not befit a son of the king. You better start working hard. So came the testimony night. He says, you know, Pastor Anton, he spoke to me. I can't remember his exact words now, but basically it's like he was giving me a verbal hiding. And I thought, how can he say this to me? Only my dad speaks to me like that. And even, in fact, but not even my dad quite speaks to me like that, giving me such a hiding, you know. And then I realized, but he is like a dad to me. And that was the echo of my last night in Standerton. The discipline. Because discipline is love. The discipline means I love you to correct you. And we must correct. And we must be open to be corrected. As God the Father says to us, be zealous and repent when he corrects us. Malachi 4 verse 6, this is my closing scripture. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Fathers, let us turn our hearts to our children. You may not be perfect. You may have failed. I have failed in many ways. I am not perfect. But I can turn my heart. Mothers, you can turn your heart. Church, spiritually, we can turn our hearts to the new believers. Spiritually, we can turn our hearts to the unsaved, the lost sons who still has to come in. Amen? Let us stand. And we can pray together. Let's just stand together. Father, thank you that we can know that you have loved us first. And Lord, not one of us can claim to have a love that comes from ourselves, because we know that all love originates from you. And Father, today we want to confess, in a sense, where we have fallen short as fathers and mothers. At the same time, we want to thank you, God, for what you've done in our lives and the fathers and mothers that you have used in our lives, our biological parents, our spiritual parents. But God, today I pray for a turning of hearts of fathers to sons, biologically and spiritually. I pray, God, for the yearning of Abraham, who yearned and cried out for the promise of sons and daughters. And it was asking and kept on asking for the promise to be fulfilled. We never let go of that promise. And so, Father, I pray that today you will impart into our minds and hearts an understanding of the value and the preciousness of having spiritual children by the thousands, by the millions even, for some of us. Because, Lord, today we need to acknowledge the fact that we have not been proactive in procreating spiritually, of imparting what we have, of giving of ourselves unto others, of duplicating ourselves. Today I'm only going to make one prayer request or altar call, and I'm not going to call you to the front. If God has been speaking to you today about fathering and mothering spiritually, and you know that your heart is not turned yet, then I ask of you to turn your hearts to God right now, to turn your heart towards the lost, to turn your hearts towards the young believers, and even those physically younger than yourself, and make yourself available to become a father. Right there where you are, I want you to pray and speak to God about your shortcomings as a biological parent, as a spiritual parent. I want you to speak to Him. You know in your heart where you fall short. You know, as you've listened this morning, where you need to grow. But this is not a quick fix thing. It's a turning of your heart. And I want you to bring your heart before the Lord and just confess before Him there where you fall short. And say, Lord, I turn my heart and I want to do this and I want to do that. Lord, change me. Help me. I'm going to give you a minute to pray just there by yourself. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray for those who are spiritually barren. I want to pray for the Sarahs in the house who have not produced spiritual children, who maybe have had a giggle and a laugh about the thought and the idea, who said it's not possible, I'm too old, I'm too that, I'm too this. But Father, I want to pray for your miraculous anointing to come upon this house right now in Jesus' name. Lord, that you touch every barren womb spiritually in Jesus' name. Lord, that you will plant seeds in there that will be birthed in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that new ministries will be birthed, that new houses will be birthed, that church planters will come from this very meeting, and those who may be watching the DVD or the video footage on TV. Lord, that people will rise up under the strength of my voice and be empowered in Jesus' name. Gendalea nachuva vasambakika lachde. Vubalea na hanga ongo, gahalenta terekiti misika telekihi, zika inga gola machbavaki, engiha longo, ungaha vaseta, guma hinga laya noch duma hinda, auba. Lea hustri. My Father God, I pray that a hunger shall come forth in our midst, a hunger like never seen before, a hunger to reproduce, a hunger to be fathers and mothers. And I pray, God, for a fruitfulness to come upon us now. Remove from us laziness and selfishness, and let your peace rest upon us.